Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. Interesting topic today. We're going to be talking about how to stop obsessive infatuation, fantasizing and lusting over another person outside of your relationship. And this has also been a term called limerence. I'm not sure whether you pronounce it limerence or limerence, so for the sake of today, I'll call it limerence. But if I say limerence by mistake, then you know what I'm talking about. And we're going to be looking at what are the traits and how to change it. Seems to me that there's a label for everything these days. And it quite honestly baffles me, putting people into boxes and saying, okay, this is you now. Sometimes it can have benefits because people can then understand, okay, these are the behaviours I am betraying, and great, I now know that there's a name for it, and I know that people are also going through the same thing, I'm not the only one, and you can read success stories of how people have changed and tips and strategies they've used. So in that way, identifying as having a kind of, let's say, condition, as they call it, it can be useful. However, sometimes it can be detrimental, because sometimes people will read a list of behaviours and say, oh no, I'm doomed, I'm going to have to be this way, this is who I am, this is how I'm going to live the rest of my life with these behaviours, take it or leave it. And that can really damage relationships, and it can also disempower a person. So I work with people with any label that they've been given by a psychiatrist, by a psychologist, by themselves, by a friend, family member, romantic partner, and we just get down into the behaviours. Because I'm sure you've had the experience, whether it's for a medical condition or a mental health condition, that you've gone on the internet, you've found there's a list of behaviours and traits, and you tick some of the boxes. You tick half of the boxes. In fact, I had a lady reach out to me the other day and she said, oh, Nicola, I read this article and maybe I've got unresolved issues because I hit 8 of these 15 criteria. So I looked through the list and honestly, reading this list, it could apply to everyone. 15 points of behaviours. And, you know, I had loads of those behaviours. I had thoughts about the past. I had, you know, like, so sometimes they're describing completely natural, normal human things. So with anything that you want to change, look at the behaviours and then get some support if you are finding it challenging to change one or more of those behaviours, and then just work on them until they're changed. All behaviour is learned and it gets stored in our unconscious mind, and so therefore it can be unlearned, a new behaviour can be installed, a new strategy, and you can be free of it. So today's topic is about fantasising about another person, obsessing over another person that's outside of your relationship. So this was labelled a condition, limerence, in 1979 by a psychologist called Dorothy Tenoy, or Tenoff. So we're going to be referring to that, also to the terms lust, love, infatuation. So this condition, limerence, which I don't really like to label people, so if you identify with any of these or all of these, then look at what is it that you want to change if you're looking to change. And if you're in a relationship with someone that's displaying these, I will also be talking about that as well. So thinking obsessively about a particular person to the point where you can't sleep, eat or work, this is limerence. You are emotionally dependent on this particular person and feel the urge to be around them at all times. And it's incredibly difficult for you to be away from them. So you struggle to you want to be around them. You want to see them. You want them to see you. You put them on a pedestal and they can do no wrong in your eyes. They are the optimum of perfection to you. Whether feelings are reciprocated or not, these feelings of lust, limerence, can continue to evolve and become more and more intense. And I come across this regularly in my work over the past 12 years in relationships, where people have what they experience as uncontrollable thoughts and feelings towards another person. Sometimes it can be how relationships start. Sometimes people can be married and start affairs in their head, which may or may not become emotional or physical cheating, as they get obsessed with someone in their office or at their gym. And it can start off as someone being kind and considerate towards them, whether it's a neighbour, a colleague, someone from their gym, like I said, or exercise class, or someone within the friendship circle. Even had it where it's someone within the family, and that's when it gets dangerous as well. And this person can become an object of obsession. So in this episode today, I'm going to cover the signs to see if you could be caught up in excessive infatuation, lust, that thought cycle termed limerence. What you can do to stop obsessive thoughts about other people outside of your relationship. How you can learn from your crushes that you may have towards others and break free from the cycle of wanting to impress someone and get attention. As well as how you can forget someone that has become your obsession. Also, for those worried in a relationship with somebody who's showing signs of being obsessed by someone else, what to do. Not many people know that our mind can easily get stuck into thought loops. And until they experience this for themselves, they don't understand how often draining and crazy-making it can make you feel. And by that, I mean you can feel like you're literally going crazy and maybe you don't. Maybe you feel like this person is meant to be. This person is the love of your life. Maybe this person is your soulmate. You're destined to be with them because you've never felt like this by anybody else. So infatuation and repetitive thoughts about a person can easily make a person feel very lost, very confused, wonder if it's true love, if it's meant to be. They may Google what's the difference between love and lust. Sometimes people will ask me, am I having a midlife crisis? What's wrong with me? And often it's people have got stuck in a thought loop, often to escape something that they're feeling. And I'll talk about that in a bit. So one of the friends that I had in high school, and when I was creating this podcast today, I thought back to, wow, I really know someone that had this when I was a teenager. So one of my friends, she would get infatuated by someone, absolutely obsessed. She had an amazing boyfriend that we all loved, really caring and kind and really supportive, really fun, like lovely guy, and she loved him. And yet she became obsessed with his friend who works in a bar where I'm from in the UK. So she would make me and our other friends go to this bar to see this other person. And she would dress up and want to impress this other person. And she barely said hello. She used to say like, hi, and that was about it. And yet for that hi to him, me and my other friends would have to go to this bar and we'd be like, we don't want to go to that bar because it's the other end of town. But she would be so insistent and so demanding about it that me and my friends were like, look, for a peaceful life, let's just go there. It is a nice bar. So, okay. And that became kind of like the place we went to. And it was a nice place, but it's just like, she was so obsessed and she would talk about him and we'd be like, we really didn't know what to say because she was in a relationship with someone else. And of course, we tried saying that and she wasn't having any of it. And she really would like spend ages like getting ready and just really wanting to see him. And it really made no sense to us. It gave her a sense of excitement. And there was then she moved on later at university and had another crush on somebody in her university, and she would work out his timetable and she would, you know, fantasize about where he was going to be. In that time, she was actually single. And it was just like, oh my God, like she's trying to track what his timetable at uni is like, and what bars he goes to, and what sports he does, just so she could arrange to look her best and bump into him. So I do have first-hand experience of this. So when I was writing this and creating this episode, I thought, wow, if I'd known what I know now, maybe I could have helped her. Of course, I was only 18 at the time, 18 to like 22. So there's not really a lot you can do at that age, because you just don't really understand it yourself. And you're going through your own ups and downs in relationships, shall I say. So this can happen for people with shopkeepers, neighbours, work colleagues, friends of friends. So how do you know that you might benefit from support to break free from the unhelpful thought loops that perhaps you may have become stuck into? Well, it's when your thoughts become intrusive. When they stop you from carrying out daily tasks because you can't think about anything else apart from this particular person, and everything you do is somehow linked to them. For example, you may play songs and listen to them and they remind you of them. You may get ready and want to improve your image and things to have them think highly of you. So you may start fearing how you will look in front of them and not wanting to taint the way that this particular person may see you. You may only want them to see the best side of you in the hope that they may reciprocate your feelings towards them. You may research and study the things that they're into so that you can have better conversations with them and you can share that you've got that same interest and become interested in things that they're interested in. The feelings may become so intense so quickly that you really want to be in their presence. You want to be around them. And you may play in your mind scenarios of what you're going to say when you see them. Fake conversations. Conversations in your head may start to occupy your mind and thoughts. You may start to plan your day around this person. Like I mentioned earlier about my friend. Finding out where they're going to be and what's the best time to catch them and where might they go for coffee or lunch or things like that. You may look into their social media platforms and interactions with other people, reading their conversations, their past posts, looking at their photos. And often people find that it's helping them to escape day-to-day life. They become hooked on it, like they're addicted to it. It becomes a hook. And often with all addictions, when I help people to break free from different addictions and habits, it's often they're escaping a feeling. Sometimes they're escaping stress, anxiety, boredom, loneliness, emptiness, unhappiness, any uncomfortable feelings. They use it to escape in their mind. And the thing about infatuation, lust, and fantasizing about someone, you can do it any place, anywhere. There's really no restrictions on it for most people. And some people know it's time to get help when they take it a step too far, when they harass someone, when they turn it into physical cheating. So as you can gather from the signs that I've discussed, experiencing this infatuation and this level of consuming thoughts, limerence, is so consuming. It can make people feel good or guilty, sad, wondering if they're crazy. It can take an impact on their emotional and physical well-being, and of course on the relationship, because if your attention is on someone else, even if it's only in your head, that's going to take you away from your other relationships, your work, your children, if you have children. So here are some tips to help you to break free from obsessively thinking about somebody else outside of your relationship. And even if you're doing it within your relationship, is it healthy? Is it good for you? Is it working for you? Is it supporting your life? And if you've already tried what I'm going to be sharing with you in the tips, then consider getting some support. If talk therapy isn't working, if journaling isn't working, if some of the things I'm going to mention to you aren't enough to break free, then it may be time to reach out and have someone help you to break it. So the first thing you can do is you can ask yourself, could there be something missing in your life right now that makes you obsess about someone else? Are you escaping something? Is it a pattern? Is there something that you do at a certain time of day or with a certain emotion, or after, is there a certain trigger to it? And then ask yourself, what is the feeling behind it? What is driving this? What was I feeling before I decided to reach out to them or to think about them and things like that? Often there are things we need to work on in ourselves or in our relationships that we are avoiding by obsessing about somebody else. Sometimes people are escaping critical or harsh judgments on themselves. Sometimes they're seeking perfection, and because they don't feel that they're achieving their goal of perfection, they want to escape that feeling of uncomfortableness. Some people hate alone time because of that. And so they will fill their alone time by filling their head with thoughts of other people. So asking yourself, well, could you benefit on working on the way that you treat yourself, the expectations you put on yourself? If you're currently feeling excess stress, loneliness, boredom, sadness, is there a better or more healthy way that you can deal with that rather than obsessing about someone else? Could you benefit from adding some excitement, some passion, some romance into your life or relationship? Finding something fun and rewarding for you. When I support people to change their behaviours, to change their thoughts and feelings, what we do is we build self-love, confidence, create new interests and healthy ways to de-stress and let go of unrealistic expectations. Some people start a business, find new activities, make new friends, enhance their marriage to keep them fulfilled and feeling alive. Second thing you can do to break free from this infatuation and lust obsessive thinking cycle is to put in some practical barriers to stop you from getting carried away. There are things you may find yourself doing that is encouraging your feelings of infatuation or limerence, like checking their social media on a regular basis so you can have a break from social media. You can limit your social media time. You can block them. You can avoid falling into the trap of obsessing over somebody by deciding, okay, you're going to remove yourself from them in the work situation. A lady I had, she decided that she was going to, because she has the option to work from home as a healthy pattern to start to detach. When you're tempted to think about them, reach out to them, why not take yourself for a coffee, listen to a meditation, do something to connect with another person. If it's a loneliness, boredom, lack of variety or excitement, call up a friend, a family member, do something for yourself, create something else to do that's healthy for you in your relationship, or organize a date night. Use your energy to plan and get excited about a trip that you can do. In all my work helping people to break free from addictions, loneliness and disconnection is often the biggest reason that people get hooked onto things. And some people see this limerence, this infatuation as a drug, as a hook. So are you feeling empty? Are you feeling alone? Are you feeling disconnected? Do you miss a deep emotional connection? If yes, maybe this is what you would benefit from resolving. And because when you keep yourself filled up with love, with connection with others, where you feel like you're valued and you value others and you value yourself, then obsessing and daydreaming about someone else can fade away. Another thing I love to do with people that do my intensive breakthrough sessions is to create personal and professional goals, to redirect their thoughts. It's very difficult sometimes to switch thinking from thinking about somebody else and obsessing about somebody else and get, you know, in one thought loop, and then to replace it with nothing. Then what are you going to think about? So it's easier to find new things to think about. People come to me often where they feel like their life has no meaning, they're lacking purpose, they're lacking passion, they're confused. So we find passions for them. Passions that they can get excited about in the morning, that they can feel empowered and looking forward to get out of bed and go through the day. So if you're a visual person, perhaps you may choose to create a vision board. That can be a great idea, with all the words and the photos of the goals that you want to have in your life. What do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to be? Where do you see yourself in an ideal world? What do you want to experience? Include goals that you can have as a couple also. And note that goals are not to-do lists. I do a lot of coaching around goal setting and understanding the best way to create empowering goals. And the way to do this is to think of things that you want to have, that you want to be, that you want to experience. I used to make the mistake myself of making my goals a huge list of to-dos. Like literally, I'd have like 30 things a month. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. These are my goals. And your mind will just be overwhelmed with that. And some of them are not really that important. And some of them will happen anyway when you go for your big goals. So ideally, at any one time, you just want to have around 3 goals or 5 goals over the next 1 to 5 years. Make them big, make them powerful, exciting, things that will drive you, that you'll be motivated to keep going for. And then, yeah, take action, take massive action, write a list if that helps, and be flexible on the way that you get that goal. So if you do decide, listening to this, that you're going to do a vision board, create it, make it feel good, do it when you're in a good place, put on some music, candles, set the atmosphere. You can do this as a couple, you can do this alone, you can draw, you can paint, you can cut pictures out of magazines, you can find pictures on the internet and print them, you can just do one on your computer if you like, and then look at it. Make it a screensaver if it's on your computer. Put it up somewhere in the morning where you can see it. Maybe if you have children, get them involved as well. This can help you, give you a new tool, a new thing to focus on. Something to escape to if you do need a little break from the day to day. Something to get excited about, something to then take some action towards. Use your goals as fuel to stay motivated on where you want to go in your marriage or relationship, where you want to go in your career, finances, friendships, interests, passions, contribution, where you want to develop yourself. There's so many things to experience in life, and I really struggle to see how people can get bored. There's so many things I'd love to learn, so many trips I'd love to plan. So many things I'd like to do. I am a grower though. I'm a consumer of knowledge. I love to learn things. I love to learn Chinese medicine and reflexology and how, like, can you really help people by touching their feet? That fascinates me. I'd love to learn more about Eastern approaches to medicine. And then I'd love to learn about astrology and how all the planets work and, you know, just look into that. And then I'd also love to learn how to garden properly. That's something I would love to do. And there's so many recipes that I would like to make. And there's so many people that I would like to see more of in my life that, you know, I don't have the time. So, of course, we create the time. So get excited. What can you learn? I'd also like to learn about feng shui. I don't know if that's the correct way to say it. You know, to make my house more aligned, let's say. So what can you get excited about? I had another lady that came to me with this limerence, infatuation, and she said, Nicola, I'm always attracted to men who are powerful in my office. I have a new obsession with a senior colleague every few years, and they're always good looking, successful, have high energy, and I've never cheated on my husband. But I'm so tempted and I want to look good for them. I want to chat to them. I flirt with them. I look forward to talking to them. I think about conversations that I can have with them. And she found out that over her 10-year career history, every new workplace there would be a new man. And she found it easy to forget the man in the old workplace. So there was always someone new. And we worked out that it was her ambition and drive that she needed to work on. She was attracted to successful, driven, powerful, positive people, confident people, confident men. And she wanted to be like that. And she wanted her husband to be like that. She found that actually she didn't have that much confidence in herself. She didn't have much confidence in her ability at work. Her energy, because she was criticizing herself a lot, putting herself down, because she didn't feel very confident in her talking, in her work, in her looks, because she lacked that confidence, she thought that she, at a subconscious level, so obviously she didn't think this logically, but it was, she was attracted to these men because in her subconscious mind, she felt like, if I get these powerful, successful, confident, high-energy men interested in me, that means I'm good. That means my self-esteem can raise. If I can get somebody like this into me, if I can get their attention, if I can get them attracted to me. So without realizing it, she was drawn to these men because it would lift her own confidence. And of course, when we realized that and talked that through, it wasn't helping her. Because even if they were interested in her, then she would feel guilty. Then she would feel stuck. Like, what does she do next? And it caused a lot of drama in her life. And it actually made her feel less confident because she was so confused and lost. And what does it mean? And does it mean her relationship's wrong? And so it's also important to understand, are we seeking something from another person that we need to be focusing on and giving to ourselves? And when we worked on releasing the negative image and doubts she had about herself, when she felt confident in her communication, in the way she looked, in her work, she felt happy, free, and she became a great leader in her family, in her workplace. She became the person that she'd always wanted to be. And she realized that, yeah, I need to get this from within rather than getting it from outside. So those are the things that maybe you can look at by yourself. Another process that I use, which I'll share with you now in case this is of interest to you to change this, is I use processes that work with the subconscious mind. Now, the term subconscious mind or unconscious mind is nothing to be afraid of, scared of. It's the best part of the human body, as it controls everything. And its primary purpose is to protect us, to look after us. It's responsible for making our eyes shine, our hair grow, our heart beat, us breathe effortlessly when we sleep, and 24/7. It runs the body, and as Dr. Deepak Chopra says, it knows exactly how to replicate new cells and help us achieve perfect health. It's also where we learn behaviors, habits. It stores our memories, emotions. So for lasting change, we need to work with the subconscious mind. And I do this often through several different processes, but the most common process I use is a really powerful guided meditation that I create for someone that comes to me for change work. We create it together and we put in everything that they want to change, all the habits that they want to install. So this can be thoughts that they want to think, behaviors that they want to do instead of the old behavior, how they want to feel, what they want to focus on, how they want to start their day, how they want to end their day, what they want to focus on, career, relationship, other relationships, friendships, things like that. Whatever they choose, really. And when they listen to this, things start to shift. Because the average person, as you've probably heard me say a few times before, has around 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. and 90% of those thoughts are on repeat, so it's no wonder people get stuck in these thought loops. It's no wonder that people find it hard to break free by themselves, because your mind will just repeat them. And you could be repeating things that are great for you and great for your life, or you could be repeating things that are setting you back, harming your relationship. Every day when I write my plan for the day, I always write, something amazing is going to happen today. Every single day. Because it's a great belief and suggestion to have. And these are like, that's a suggestion sometimes that I put into people's guided meditation. You feel amazing, you look amazing, you love and approve of yourself, you love and respect yourself, you have a great healthy relationship, whatever they want. I had a lady that came to me who was having obsessive thoughts about her new neighbour who had just moved into the villa next door to her. He was friendly and he gave her some food. He gave some food to some of the family. He handed out these packages and she just couldn't believe that he had given her this gift. And she was playing over and over in her mind, and then she was trying to work out his work schedule, when he got in the car to leave the house, when he was going to be home. She would go for a jog when it was time that he would come home so that she could bump into him. And she was wasting a lot of time thinking about this man. And when I asked her, do you love your husband? Yes, absolutely. Do you want to be with your husband? Yes, absolutely. How is your relationship going? She said, good, most of the time. I said, okay, what about the other part of the time? Well, I don't really feel he has time for me. I feel lonely. I don't really have much adult conversation because I'm with the children all the time. And yeah, I miss my friends. I miss being with other adults. So this was a behavior that she had done to help her escape the uncomfortable feelings that she was feeling. So we created a meditation full of positive affirmations with the new goals that she wanted to go for. We created new goals. Of course, we did a planning session on what she values in life and what she could feel more empowered to do. And then she also realized that her sex life wasn't really going very great. It never really had been an area of comfort for her, because she always felt uncomfortable. She had a lot of blocks from the past. So we did another one on being sexually open, free, enjoying it more, letting herself go. And now her and her husband are having the best intimacy they've ever had. So guided meditations created for you with the changes and the thought patterns that you want can really help you to break free from any unwanted patterns, thought patterns, habits, things like that. So if you have gone on the internet and labelled yourself as something, if you've gone to a psychologist or psychiatrist and labelled that you've been labelled as something, if someone you love has given you a kind of label that you've got this condition, work out what are the behaviours and then go about changing them. Also be aware of your feelings triggering these behaviours, because it's a two-way thing that needs to be changed. It's addressing the emotions and finding new healthy ways to deal with the emotions that trigger behaviours, habits, and then it's also deciding what you want to replace it with that's positive, that's healthy, and what behaviours need to be changed. If you find that you're with somebody who is infatuated with somebody else, having obsessive thoughts about somebody else, if you've just discovered this, or you discovered it a while ago and you're struggling with it to understand it, my heart goes out to you. It can be heartbreaking to love someone and to know also that they love you and yet their head is filled with somebody else. However, you have to realize that only they can change that by making first a decision to get support and to change it. And you can support them by working on the relationship together, by once they've worked out the feelings and emotions triggering them to do those things, making those those changes. And if you are relating to this situation and you would like some help, then do feel free to reach out to me. You can go to my website, nicolabeer.com, and you can book a free 20-minute introduction Zoom call or WhatsApp call where we can explore what's happening for you, what you want to change, and then create a plan on how to go about that together. If you would like some coaching and some further support, you can also join my relationship Facebook group, which has a weekly meditation, a weekly live talk, has other topics and videos to support you, and I'd love to connect to you there so we can connect more personally. So do join the group if you would like to. From my heart to yours, wishing you an awesome week ahead. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing love-filled day ahead.